Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
As we enter the holiday season of 2011, God's blessings are abundant. It's our prayer that today's program will encourage and warm this season of year for you, especially if you need encouragement. Stay with us with Dr. Paul Chappell as we discover how to worship the Christ of Christmas. You know, in good times and bad, worship is so important to our joy and our stability in the Christian life. And this is truly a season of worship as we enter a time where we focus on God and His goodness, and we focus on what He gave us in the gift of His Son and the presence of Emmanuel. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features Dr. Paul Chappell and his teaching and preaching from the Word of God every Monday through Friday. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College, also in Lancaster. It's a joy to minister God's Word to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope that today's program will be an encouragement and a source of strength through a difficult time in your life or a season where you have some need. We hope to draw your attention to the Christ of Christmas and to what it means to truly worship Him this season. One of the ways we'd like to complement your walk with Christ is through our Daily in the Word website. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find a lot of resources on the website. Some of the most important ones, a link to this program where you can subscribe to the podcast and take this program with you on your iPod or computer. Also, you'll see a link for devotionals. That's a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that you can subscribe to, and we hope that it will encourage you every day with a scripture reading and an encouraging word from Dr. Chappell. Also, a link to our online bookstore as you're preparing for a gift-giving time, and a link to Dr. Chappell's blog where you can keep up with what God is doing in his life and ministry. All of this and more you'll find at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn our hearts to worshiping the Christ of Christmas. Our text is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the presentation of Christ. Here's Paul Chappell.
Perhaps you've heard the saying, looks can be deceiving. I've had some times in my life where that saying has certainly been true. And sometimes at Christmas we like to be a little bit secretive and maybe even deceptive. I remember years ago, my wife saw a necklace in a store, and I took note of that and thought, you know, I'm gonna get that for her for Christmas. And so later on, I went back and I purchased that necklace, but I put it inside of a box that was a little larger, and then I put that box inside another box that was larger until I had about 7 or 8 boxes. I tried to convince her that under the Christmas tree was what every woman wants for Christmas, a vacuum cleaner. And I had her going pretty good until Christmas morning. She got to the last box and she found out that it was, after all, a necklace. You know, the presentation of Jesus Christ to the world may not have appeared exactly as you and I would have planned it. It may have been one of those situations where looks are a little bit deceiving. I mean, when you see the manger and the stable and the shepherds gathered round, it may not at first appear to be what it really was. And yet every aspect of the birth of Jesus Christ has prophetical and spiritual significance to the student of the Word of God. And this morning I want you to consider with me the presentation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the world. Notice, if you would, as our story begins this morning in Luke chapter 2, a providential declaration. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." A decree is an imperial order. Caesar Augustus was, of course, the most powerful man in the world. He was the first of the Roman emperors. He was born and lived a mighty, powerful life, adopted by Caesar into rulership and leadership. He led the Roman world from 27 BC until about 14 AD. This man was responsible for establishing the first firefighting system in the city of Rome, and then the first police force in the city of Rome. And then he began to build large Roman roads throughout all of Italy, stone roads, and throughout much of the known world. He began to develop this infrastructure. And in order to support that infrastructure, the Bible says he sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. He had 170,000 soldiers in his army. He had roads spreading throughout the known world. And so he sent out this decree that everyone would pay from their income a certain percentage of taxes. How many of you are amused with the fact that history seems to repeat itself over and over again? And oftentimes we note in our lives that decrees and declarations from authorities above us many times are in opposition to the plans that we make. Many times a company shutdown is not according to the plans of those who work at that company. An economic downturn, other difficulties are certainly not the kinds of decrees that we would have planned. And we see that in this story. We see in Mary and Joseph's life as they begin making the journey towards Bethlehem that here was a regulation they could not control. This regulation that came from Caesar Augustus was something completely out of their control. And life is full of unavoidable circumstances. Life is full of circumstances out of our control. And yet I'm glad to say this morning that if you are facing some circumstance that you would not have planned, something that is difficult for you today, even though it may be out of your control, it is not out of the plan or the will of God for your life. The Bible says in our text this morning in the notes, Isaiah 40 and verse 15, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." My friend, this morning, no matter what you're experiencing, God is still in control. I think of the story of Joseph. You've read about it perhaps in the Old Testament. His father loved him. His father gave him the coat of many colors. And he was so thankful to God and to his father. But his brethren became very jealous and they sold him into slavery. And Joseph would not have planned slavery. Joseph would not have planned on his life dream sheet to be spending time in Egypt away from his family year after year, to be placed in prison. That would be no man's plan for his own life. But that was God's plan for Joseph's life. And you know the story that as Joseph was faithful to God, he was elevated in authority. And there came a day when God used Joseph to feed the very ones who had betrayed him. Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you're going through a downtime in your life. I want you to remember that there are always opportunities for the faithful servant of God. David was simply doing what his father Jesse had told him to do. He was to take food to his brethren who were fighting against the Philistines in the valley of Elah. Maybe David had not planned that particular day to go down to the place of battle, but that was what God wanted him to do that day. God sent him down to the valley of Elah, and it was there that David heard Goliath screaming out against the God of Israel. And it was on that day that David went down to the brook and chose five smooth stones. And he went into the valley and he swung his slingshot around and God guided that rock like a missile to the forehead of Goliath. And God used David in a mighty, mighty way. God used a little woman named Esther to save the people of God from a wicked man named Haman. Time and time again, what appears to be a difficulty, what appears to be not according to man's plan, is something that God chooses to bless and to use. And what about you? Do you have some unpreventable situation in your life today? Do you have something in your life happening that was not according to your plan? Well, I want to remind you this morning that anything out of your control is in the will of God for your life. God has a reason. I have two favorite Christmas movies that I like to watch every year. First, I like to watch It's a Wonderful Life. That's just a great movie. I mean, all the way through it, there's so many lessons. And years ago, I had my kids convinced that the Bible commands us to watch that movie. And I like a movie where at the last part, the guy gets bailed out financially and everyone comes in, helps him out. How many of you say that's a good kind of a movie? Amen. And then I also like the Charlie Brown Christmas Story. Now, you're going to think I'm kidding when I say this. But if you've never seen it, you need to go buy it and watch it. I mean, there's more doctrine in that Charlie Brown Christmas Story. I mean, Bible doctrine than the average Baptist might hear in church today. I'm not sure. And Charlie Brown, he struggles with the whole Christmas situation. And he says on one part of the film, he says, "I already know everybody hates me. Why do we have to have a holiday to bring it out?" That's kind of his spirit, you know. And in the movie, he's talking to Linus one day, and Linus says to him, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person that can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Now, have you ever met somebody like that? They can turn a wonderful time even into a problem. And it seems like problems abound. But I want you to know that when you are a child of God, He is always overruling in the affairs of men. This was a regulation that Mary and Joseph could not control. Everyone had to pay the tax. Everyone had to go to their hometown at this particular time of year. A regulation they could not control. Secondly, it was a ruler they could not convince. The Bible says in verse number 2 of our text this morning, the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Cyrenius was appointed governor twice. And it was demanded of Joseph that he would go to the home of his ancestors. That would be Bethlehem, the city of David. And Cyrenius was the governor. But there was no way for Mary and Joseph to take a side trip and visit the governor. And even if they would have, he would not have given an exception to them. And there may be times in your life when you have a boss or you have someone over you that is quite unavailable, quite unapproachable. And yet there's one thing you can do. That is, you can trust God in the midst of uncertainty. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." And I want you to know that God can control the heart, mind, and decisions of the most mighty and powerful people on this earth. And to think that God reached down from heaven and touched the heart of Caesar Augustus and the heart of Cyrenius, and he caused the moving of the political powers of that moment to move in such a way that Joseph and Mary would come to Bethlehem so that his prophecy would be fulfilled, so that his son would be born exactly when and where he said he would be born. That is the providential declaration of God, and God can even move the unbelieving rulers of the world to fulfill his exact plan. And so we see a providential declaration. But notice, secondly, this morning, a prophetic destination. A prophetic destination. Verse 3, please. "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Now, at first it appears poor Mary and Joseph, they're having to take a side trip at the last moments of her pregnancy. How unfortunate for them. And you may be thinking about your life today. How unfortunate for you that at this particular time you're going through this circumstance. I've had many people tell me over the years, "Well, the company transferred us to Lancaster. The military brought us to the high desert. We would not have chosen to the desert, but here we are." Well, you know what? Why don't you bloom where you're planted? And why don't you recognize Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. And even though Mary and Joseph had to make this trip during the last hours of her pregnancy, God was still working for their good. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. And so He had a place for them to go to. Notice they went first to a prophesied city. A prophesied city. John 7:42, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? You can see that on the map this morning. And God moved so that they would come down past Jerusalem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, coming into the little city of Bethlehem, that quiet place, which means the house of bread, that hilly region. It was a place, Bethlehem was, where physical bread was provided. And you'll see on this little picture of Bethlehem, the terraced hills, and you'll see the fertile valley around Bethlehem. It was a place that provided fruit and vegetables and harvest for the citizens of the area. Someone told once of the story of a teacher who asked her children, and she said, "Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem?" And one little boy raised his hand and said, "Because his mother was there." And that was a pretty good answer. But there's an answer beyond that. The real answer is, that's where God said His Son would be born. And so He came to this place known as the house of bread. Bethlehem was a place that had provided physical bread. But more than that, Bethlehem now has been known for 2,000 years plus as the place where God provided physical bread, but also spiritual bread for all who would taste and believe of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Micah 5:2 said that He would be born in Bethlehem, this one whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, speaking of the eternality of the Lord Jesus. But notice how John speaks of Jesus in John 6:32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto Him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst." You see, this prophetic destination called Bethlehem was not only the place where God had said many hundreds of years before, "My Son will be born in that place," but it was also the place which meant the house of bread. And Jesus Christ, as the bread of life, came so that all who believe on Him will never hunger. They will be completely satisfied knowing that their sins are forgiven, knowing that Jesus is the way to a relationship with God the Father, and that through Him we might be filled. Through Him we might be saved. And so we see in Luke chapter 2 a providential declaration. All the world will be taxed. But why, God? Why do You bring taxing? And why do You bring burdens? And why do You allow the governments and the companies and the problems to exist? Why, God? We may not always know why right at the moment, but you can know this, my friend. God's plan is always working on your behalf and mine. It was a providential declaration. It was a prophetic destination. But let's get down to the real point of it this morning. And notice with me, it was a perfect delivery. A perfect delivery. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, every woman here would say, "Pastor Chapel, there is no such thing as a perfect delivery." I understand that in the sense of labor. But I also understand, having been there with my dear wife on the occasion of the birth of our 4 children, that after all the pain of labor and delivery, when that precious child is placed into the hands and arms of that sweet mother, there's a wonderful moment where all of the pain, all of the labor is forgotten, and now the blessing of life is considered. And here on this particular day, not merely the blessing of life, the perfection of the one that Mary held. He was the Son of God. Notice the presentation of Christ. The presentation of Christ. We see the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son. Jesus certainly was the son of Mary. No doubt about that. He was the God-man. He was born as a man into this world, but he was more than a man. He was the God-man. He was the son of God. And the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son. He is called in the scriptures the son of the highest. Luke 1:32, he shall be great, and he shall be called the son of the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The son of the highest, meaning the son of God. But someone says, if he's born of Mary, how could it be that he is God? How could he be called the son of God? That, my friend, is answered by the scriptures in the simple fact that in Luke 1:35, we realize that Mary did not conceive of a man or from the seed of a man and from the Adamic sin line of man, but Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He is the Son of the Highest. Now, because the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary, and because then he was the Son of God, I want you to read there with me in your notes how that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. For this is the cornerstone of our faith. This is the fundamental reason that we celebrate this season. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now find that phrase and let's read that together, please. God was manifest in the flesh. All right, one more time. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, there are those today who say, all religions are about the same, Pastor Chapel. Let's just hold hands with all the other religions and let's just all get along because they're all about the same and all roads lead to about the same place. There are those who say that all religions are about the same. But let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus Christ alone is God in the flesh. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And oh, how we must understand the cornerstone of our faith this morning is that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove at the day of his baptism, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, where he is at this moment at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. That's why Colossians 2 and verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now when Mary and Joseph on that first Christmas morning then presented their child and held the Christ child in their arms, there was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, deity wrapped in humanity, the Son of God coming to live a perfectly sinless life, so that when the blood was shed on Calvary, it was not the blood of the Adamic sin line, but it was the blood of heaven being shed for the sins of the entire world. And we must never apologize for being fundamental Bible-believing Christians, that is, people who believe the fundamental truths of this book. We are not a liberal, modernist, watered-down, wishy-washy church. We believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God who lived a perfectly sinless life, who died on an old rugged cross, who shed his blood, and that without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission of sin, and that until we trust Christ as our Savior, there is no hope of heaven for all of eternity. For without Christ, we are without hope today. The presentation of Christ is that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the presentation that was made.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Our series is entitled Worshiping the Christ of Christmas. We're turning our hearts to this holiday season and to what it's really all about, the presence of God Almighty and his blessed gift of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Pastor Chapel has just released a new book. It's entitled Christmas is a Gift, Unwrap the Significance of the Season. This is a beautiful mini book of encouraging thoughts from Scripture about the story of Christmas. This book would make a wonderful addition to your coffee table through the season and an encouragement to you and your family. It would also make a wonderful gift to someone that you love and that you want to share Christ with this Christmas. Once again, it's Dr. Chappell's new hardback book, Christmas is a Gift, Unwrap the Significance of the Season. It's available when you call or write to us or when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also place an order for this book when you call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. And we would love to hear from you by mail. You can send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. This Christmas season, you'll want to visit our online bookstore and find a treasury of resources that will encourage you and those you love. And don't forget Dr. Chappell's new book, Christmas is a Gift, a beautiful four-color hardback book. It's a gift size, 136 pages, mini hardback, and you will be encouraged by the message of this book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.